Hey, what's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. In today's episode, I'd like to talk about the effects the environment can have on a situation with a shark. As I mentioned in the past, I developed an interaction concept called the Dory Sane, where the E in Adore stands for environment. We will get into this concept in a later episode of LTS, so here I would just like to get started. Although the term environment surrounding sounds rather specific, it covers more than just the physical environment and includes, for example, the weather, other sharks, other divers, and so on. Everything that belongs to a situation beside the actual shark. So if you dive with someone, the other person would be part of your environment. And vice versa, you are the environment of the other person. Or a second shark showing up would, of course, be part of the environment for this particular shark that you're interacting with. It goes without saying that we cannot sufficiently cover everything in this episode, but I will get back to it. And so today I will just like to start and dedicate upcoming podcasts to different parts of a environment. The simplest way to understand environment is just to look around when diving or snorkeling somewhere and try to notice as much potential factors as possible that you think may influence the upcoming or the current situation. Although one should always keep an eye on the shark, one can always still look around, except of course when the shark is swimming towards the person, then it's all eyes and concentration on the shark. Bottom line is, when trying to see how the environment influences the shark or the situation one is in, we have to look for or try to determine the most influencing factor or factors. And it's the same like when you're in an interaction with another person, you may be in a very quiet spot or in a loud restaurant. So the loud restaurant, of course, would affect the situation the most. So whatever we do on a daily basis, try to adapt the same understanding to the environment you're in with the shark. The easiest, of course, is in the environment, the actual surrounding, the physical surrounding like the reef, the bottom, or the surface. All these structures, and I use here now the surface as a structure, would affect your understanding and the shark's understanding in different ways. So the interaction will depend on some of these factors. A surface or a bottom means, of course, restriction of escape routes. So the shark will not approach you in the same manner as it would be in the free water column. But a surface also means that sound is reflected from the shark, from the person. And if, let's say, there are a lot of waves, which would be very loud, it could overshadow the emitting sounds you produce. So the shark will not be able to hear you clearly. Sound and the possible overshadowing by structures is always something I look for. But then there's the weather as such, which is part of the environment. Rain, heavy rain is very loud when you're right below the surface. Or waves, as I just mentioned, current, low pressure systems, and on and on. Although an effect can be assumed, most of it has not been studied yet. Although some things seem rather clear. For example, it could be shown when a hurricane is approaching, sharks go into deeper waters, which may sound logical, but why do they go to deeper waters? Is it because their favorite prey moves into deeper waters, or what are the reasons? So a lot of these studies are not done yet. We have just assumptions. For example, moon. We all know that the moon influences a lot of parts of our life. So we found out that the full moon, for example, makes it happen that our Caribbean reef sharks over in the Bahamas swim faster. I have no idea why they do that. But we just know there is a correlation between full moon, new moon, and the speed of Caribbean reef sharks. Another thing we figured out is we also always heard that during full moon and new moon, sharks bite more people. Well, it's not correct. We actually did a study. We tried to figure out, we used many years of bite dates, and looked for a correlation with the dates of new and full moon, and there's none. So you can look up this paper, I can send it to you. It was published in the Open Fish Science Journal, and it was called Do Lunar Cycles Influence Shark Attacks? Although I use here the term shark attack, I don't really like that term. It's an incident or accident, but very often when we publish things, they still like to have the old terms attacks instead of accident or incident. So, well, that's part of it that we try to change, but so far it's kind of uphill battle. So you see, there are theoretically a lot of factors that we assume that influence the situation, but as with life, some effects are more prominent than others. One very obvious influence are other divers in your vicinity when you try to interact with the shark. Just because the shark has to pay attention not just to you, but other people, that may be too close for the shark's liking. So another person may affect a shark's outer circle, inner circle, interzone. So always be aware who is close by and what this person actually is doing. Is this person just staying put? Is it moving towards the shark, away from the shark? Or is the shark's attention just divided between you and the other person? Me, I prefer to have no one close to me when I work with sharks, although we always should have another person with us, be it while diving or free diving. When it comes to shark, it is easier to deal with any shark when no one is close by or at least a bit separated from another person. I know that solo diving or free diving alone should not be encouraged. I have to admit that I do something that is not encouraged, but it is my preferred way of working with sharks. And once you have some experience with large sharks, you will notice that having another person close by really, really is affecting the interaction. Then there is visibility or the sun position. The lower the light, the less we can see color, the harder it is for us to see. And when the sun goes down, everything turns gray in gray. So it makes it really hard. And we have to assume that for the shark is influenced by a low visibility as well. This, of course, brings me to hunting in sharks. Remember when people say, oh, we always heard that sharks hunt in the evening hours, right? That's just not a fact. Some hunt, well, I agree, but the main reason is may not because they like the low lights, but it's most likely because the preferred prey comes out of the reef. So it's much, and then they really go after these prey. And, you know, though, it's always said that, you know, the shark has advantages in crepuscular times. That means dawn, dusk, and it would be easier for him to hunt. If this would really be the case, well, then their preferred prey would not exist anymore. So, yes, the shark may see very well in crepuscular times because in the eye center, we, for example, have color cells. Watch, we're good for colors. A shark has in its center black and white cells. So there are some differences, but the prey is adapted to low light as well. So there is just a easy way that we will, what we talk about, that sharks can see better, which is, of course, they might see well, but that does not improve their hunting towards the prey because the prey has been advanced capabilities as well. And then there's, of course, some people say white sharks, for example, they feed once a month. And I don't believe that either. Why? Because whenever food is available, a shark takes it. So just assume a white shark is not capable of going after seals when it's rather young. So when this shark now actually comes across a seal that is dying and the shark is already in full size, well, would he then just say, well, no, I just ate, I don't take that food? No, I don't think so. So when it comes down to feeding, I think we just have to rewrite the book. But when I talk about environment, of course, then I also always mean potential prey or other predators. So it can very well be that you're actually in terms of a shark and a preferred food source is close by, or another shark is hunting, or, for example, you're out there and you have, like, say, a school of fish. The sharks are actually hunting the fish. So, of course, then their attention all of a sudden is divided between the hunting fish and you as a person. So there are a lot of things that actually is included in the environment. The influence of the environment or an interaction between us and the shark is very complex. And the more we examine these factors that may influence the situation or the shark, the more we realize how complex a creature a shark truly is. The shark is not a basic, simple animal, instinct-driven. No, sharks have a conscious mind. They think, they contemplate, and they're sometimes very curious, hesitant, cautious. So no situation is like another one, despite that the surroundings, the influences may not have changed. But with everything during the interaction, some factors are more important than others. So how to go about weighing these factors? That is not easy to be answered, but I dare to say that beside the chosen activity, it is the physical surrounding that are most important. So all of us start with the water depth. And if you're in, for example, a two-dimensional or three-dimensional surrounding, be aware what that means. Then if you are too close to the surface or the bottom, in a two-dimensional area, a shark will be affected. And of course, beside the two- or three-dimensional structure, water column, for example, you can look at the current and the visibility. Of course, then again, it matters, as I just mentioned, how many people are in the water, how many sharks are present. So you see, whenever you're out there, there's a lot to look for, a lot to understand, a lot to weigh. But the more you dive out there, the more you should get savvy in understanding the environment you're in and what the potential shark that may show up will be in as well. So I like to pick one shark that is always close by and follow its swim pattern to see what affects the shark the most. Of course, when I jump in, I'm aware of their surroundings, if it's two, three-dimensional current visibility and such. But when a shark shows up, you actually have to put it to the test. Is the shark really affected by this or that? Is it noticeable? So whenever you jump in there, do a first triage. Look for what might be important. And I will get into that, what are prominent factors, in a later episode of LTS. So as I already mentioned, should you plan a dive with sharks or expect one or two to show up somewhere, look around and try to notice things. I always make it a priority, no matter where I jump in, to get the basics covered. So should one a shark show up, I can observe its swim patterns right away. Mind you, sharks may disappear just because you cornered them or intercepted them in some way or another. So understand where you're at and always try to really go through scenarios that you might end up in with a shark. When you're in a reef, tight reef, chances are the shark will not come close. If you're in a free water column, well, there's no restrictions and you have a great encounter. So wherever you are, be aware of your surroundings. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, look around, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege.